You're listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast on KSVG 89.7 FM, Savage Radio, City of License, Mettler, California.
From sheets, I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of the Sofa King podcast.
Yeah.
This is the radio edition.
So you guys are laughing at my ritualistic OCD.
Yes, yeah. We were.
The throat clearing.
Yeah. I have to hack, and then a small bit of an alcoholic beverage, and then a hot coffee.
Yep. Before every session.
Like when the music starts and I'm not ready, I panic. Like that cork went flying across the table haphazardly as I reached for the bottle. Yeah. So
awesome.
It happened.
So me and Dave are laughing hysterically out of the mics, trying to hold our composure.
Watch him scramble for a shot of whiskey.
Whiskey, Will Whiskey, Will Wheaton. Why am I saying what way?
So we want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
It is Thanksgiving today. If you didn't know and you weren't already cooking your turkey, you're probably not going to eat turkey today.
Right.
Because it is kind of late.
Unless Albertsons is making it for you.
Albertsons is coming back. Hagen's is closing.
Oh, here in town?
Yep. Hagen's, whatever it is.
I didn't even know that there was a gone Albertsons and a Hagen's present.
Yep.
Yeah,
Hagen's Albertsons, is there. They filed bankruptcy, and now Albertsons is coming back.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Because Hagen bought Albertsons, but as a part of the deal, the feds made them sell off, or vice versa. They had to sell off a certain amount. No, Albertsons bought another. They bought Safeway, I think.
Okay.
And then as part of the deal, the government made them sell off a certain percentage of their stores so they weren't monopolizing.
I like how you refer to the government as the feds.
The feds.
Like you're a 50s gangster.
The feds, see? They moved in.
Yeah, she never catch me.
Or 40s Copper. Gangster, yeah. Maybe.
Yep,
40, the 20s.
So, yeah, I'm way off.
So, we're going to be talking about Indian deaths and how to prepare your turkey.
And turkey deaths.
And turkey deaths. Ooh, turkey deaths.
Indian deaths and turkey deaths to be coupled with crystal meth and cable death.
I mean, I think it's fair because turkey's white meat. And so, like, everybody talks about white people killing everybody else.
It's the atonement.
Everybody's constantly killing white turkeys.
Well, only part of the turkey is white meat and the other part's dark meat.
I think it's a light-skinned. So
it's kind of like me.
Light-skinned.
Yeah. Part of me is white meat and part of me is dark meat.
Let's not get into those parts.
I'm not identifying the parts. I'm just saying I am of mixed heritage. He's
black from the waist up.
Aw, you're supposed to get it the other way.
You got screwed. So let's do our, I don't even know where to begin.
I know that going into this, I thought I knew about Thanksgiving, and I knew that there was like a different story than you were told in grade school, obviously, because that's
Pilgrims,
a lot to lay on a first grader.
Pilgrims came and the Indians helped them grow food, and then they had a feast.
I have to say, like a couple of years ago, I watched like the full version of like the old school Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and it's pretty grim.
Really?
Like, it's like, I was watching it and I was like, oof, this is like, they're all living on the Mayflower and like dying of disease. And I'm just like,
oh, Charlie Brown was?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
I don't remember.
There's
that.
Like a short little happy Thanksgiving one, but then there's like this longer old school one that used to come on in the 70s. And it's like the full story, everybody dying and all. It's pretty rough.
I bet the feds made them.
Yeah.
No, they made the short one.
Yeah. They made the short one. Yeah.
The edit. Well, so I started reading about this and like going way, way back. I guess originally they didn't come to America. They tried to just jump out. The religious separatists in England that were feeling repressed just jumped to Holland.
Right.
That's as far as they made it first. But they noticed that their culture was being absorbed into the society of Holland. Like they were learning, their kids were learning the language. They were going to those schools and they were becoming of age. The ones that were old enough were joining their army. And so they panicked.
What the hell were they expecting?
I don't know.
Like you moved to a place.
I think I'm going to move to France. I'm getting out of here. My kids are learning French. It's like, what did you think was going to happen?
I guess they didn't have the money and they were just like, we got to get out of here. You know what I mean? Because they didn't have any financing, which there was so much, even back then, it's just weird how stuff works. Everything's powered by money. I just didn't think. Like
mm-hmm. gold.
We'll get into some of that. So they had to seek financing to get a boat. And the crazy thing that I learned was there wasn't just the Mayflower. You know, there was a second ship.
You lied to me. You weren't watching Vikings because that's how it was too. They had to get financed for the boats and stuff.
I watched them all. I'm all caught up.
There was a second smaller ship.
Called the Speedfast.
Yeah, well.
But
it
went nowhere.
It was slow.
I couldn't find if it sank, but it didn't make it. It was just a hunk.
And it didn't even launch.
It was a tugboat.
The pilgrims that were supposed to be on that one ended up getting on the Mayflower because that one couldn't launch.
Right.
So it was like the Apollo mission.
So, and then I guess 50% of the people on the Mayflower weren't even what we call pilgrims, and pilgrims weren't even called pilgrims at that point. They were just like religious separatists that were trying to get away, and they were referred to as pilgrims after the voyage, obviously, because that's what pilgrimage is.
Right.
So, and they didn't wear buckles on their shoes. They didn't look anything like that. Their clothing, I guess black clothing was expensive. They just looked like European like farmers. But half the people on the boat were actually company men from the financiers, if that's a word, that were sent to make sure that the pilgrims, if we're going to call them that, is kept up their end of the deal once they got in and settled.
I bet one of them had buckles on their shoes.
Yeah, they had.
There was just like a dude.
Apparently, buckles were not fashionable yet. And
yeah, but there was one guy who wasn't fashionable.
The hipster.
One pilgrim hipster had buckle shoes. Because he was the great great grandfather of dude passerbyer. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No. But I
suspect one of. I'm just gonna throw in one of them might have had buckles on their. I mean, one, two, buckle maybe. My shoe, three, four, I mean, there's a chance. There's a couple hundred people on the ship. They didn't have shoelaces. Somebody had a freaking buckle.
They had slip-on Vans.
Man, I almost said the F word there. I did too. That was almost a beep.
Yeah. I'm going to hold it. So they get to America, the New World. This is the thing that's always all this controversy, and I get all the timelines messed up of Columbus and Vikings and, you know, them, but apparently when they got here, there was already 50 million people inhabiting America.
50 million?
50 million is a conservative estimate. It could have been as high as 70 million.
Well, I guess that's Native America Americans. As a whole.
So like, that's Native Americans.
Not the East.
Yeah, because what I read was that in 1500, which was well before any of this, there were already 12 million Native Americans just in North America. So you would imagine that
100 years.
And that's the whole North America, not the East Coast that's not where just they the East landed Coast. At.
But then there were already colonies. There were already established things by the time they got to Plymouth. There were already colonizations. There were a lot more Indians, et cetera.
So
it wasn't just they landed and there was nothing there and a few Indians or something. Well, there was like,
I mean, this should have blown their mind. They landed and an Indian walked up to him and spoke English.
Right.
It was like something out of a movie where the aliens just started to speak a language.
He's like, hey, how you doing?
How's it going?
No, he said, welcome Englishman was his sentence to them. Yeah. And this isn't Squanto. We're not even there yet. This is just the first Indian they met walked up and said, welcome Englishman.
Well, and this was, Indians were taken and taught to be what?
Well, this is the thing. The East Coast had already been like fished and plundered and explored for 150 years prior to those pilgrims landing.
So they knew, they've seen the Vikings, they've seen the other Englishmen, the British.
We can jump off to that for a second because that's a good story because the Vikings were off the course or the coast or whatever, Greenland or something. And they had been coming across and they tried to establish a colony there.
Yeah.
But the Indians came and think about Vikings and what we know about Vikings and how tough they were.
Yeah.
And they conquered all these people. They were like the baddest dudes in the world at the time. Like they were gangster. They showed up, the Indians attacked them and shot their leader in the heart with an arrow, and they bailed out and took off back.
Oh, wow. Damn.
And they had been around for 500 years in Greenland by that time. So it'd be like for us, as if you compare that to America, it would take until like, what, 2150 until we have been established as long as the Vikings had been established in Greenland before they came here. So like we're not even doing what the Vikings did as far as like
we're only halfway there as far as being established.
So the Indians were no joke. Yeah.
So we're talking about they were legit, man.
Yeah.
So all we hear is these stories about how Englishmen came over and slaughtered the Indians and took them as slaves and all this stuff. So really the Indians were pretty well prepared for anybody coming over.
Yeah, like war-wise, we were greatly outnumbered. I mean, we're talking about like there's debate, we were talking about that earlier, is supposedly like 100 people were in the Mayflower. It's debatable like how many died because there's company men and there's pilgrims. We don't know how many landed for sure. Some say 100, some says 50.
Yeah, but the company men are going to fight. If you know, if the Indians are attacking, the company men are going to fight with the
pilgrims. Yeah, you're still talking about the best would be like 102. What was it, 102 people or something?
100 people, roughly.
100 people.
Yeah.
But then you have
thousands of
70
Indians.
Million Indians, you know, and in that territory, who knows?
Yeah.
But so the East Coast had already been fished and explored for 150 years. The West Coast was already settled by Spanish. Like there were already, you know, lots of colonies and whatnot. And in school, you always feel like, oh, like Columbus found it. And then we came over here later. And then we like we settled here and we made America. But like it was well established, like their population was almost equivalent to Europe. I think at the time it was an equal population in Europe.
Oh wow.
And the only reason that we were able to do it was smallpox. Like it was just disease
primarily.
Disease killed off the Indians.
It killed off I have the stats on here somewhere, but it killed off like 90%.
Yeah, I looked at some stuff written by historians and they said that the range estimates between 75% and 90% of the Indians who were killed by disease.
Yeah.
Not by war, not by anything else. But
did you guys see pictures of smallpox?
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
But smallpox. So you can imagine that the Indians were pretty rough and tumble. Like they probably were just.
They just had no immunity, toward disease. Right. Like they would.
Well, but they could kill us easy.
Oh, absolutely.
Or not, I say us, but I mean, they could kill, you know, explorers and whatever easy. If they could take out the Vikings. You know, I mean, that's a pretty bold statement.
No, they were legit.
Yeah, Brad, try to fight like that. Mm. So we've got a picture of smallpox up on the screen right now. And if you haven't seen that, you should Google that for sure. Smallpox
or you shouldn't Google it because it's pretty awful.
Yeah, warning, but it's vicious. Yeah,
smallpox, and then they were also killed off by measles, the flu, whooping cough, diphtheria, typhus, the bubonic plague, cholera, and scarlet.
Why are they called smallpox? Because they're huge.
Well,
you never got huge pox.
Well, usually chicken pox are small, you know, I mean.
Yeah, maybe there were bigger pox than some worse thing.
Ooh, that sucks.
But so, I mean, and even, you know, and people, you know, you hear about the story of like a smallpox blankets given out to Indians to kill them off. That didn't happen until 1837.
Oh, wow.
So this is, I mean, we're talking 100 years before that happened.
Yeah.
At this point, the disease deaths were just lack of immunity. All the urban densities in Europe, everyone had these diseases already going. Everyone already had immunities. But then you just, you know, hit this native population that has immunity to none of these things, and it just, but I mean, the same thing.
It's weird that the Indians didn't have some sort of disease that would take out the Europeans, though.
I think it's, honestly, I think it's because they just, lived a healthier lifestyle and they didn't have that urban density.
Oh, true.
Like they were,
in colonies.
Yeah,
as much,
exactly. Just, they weren't packed into horrible London and big cities. You know,
they weren't just throwing out their poop buckets of feces into the street. Yeah.
A little bit of hygiene, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, like, comparatively, they were saying like smallpox versus like the Black Plague. Smallpox was like twice as bad. Like as far as it wiping out Indians, it killed way more people than the Black Plague, and we just don't even think about it. It's like not talked about. Well, obviously, it's like,
well, and the Black Plague's still around today. I mean, it's just not taking out people like it was before
immunity. It is. Yeah.
Speaking of the Black Plague, you got Black Plague on your stomach right now. Brad got bit by a Black Widow over the weekend
or something.
He's championing through it. Yeah, he didn't even go to the hospital.
Nope.
He had three streaks coming off of the crazy bite, headed towards his heart. He's like, I'll go help somebody move a playhouse where there might be more spiders.
Keep posting stuff online about me, people. Let's see what happens.
Black Widow Brad.
Yep.
That's rough. So yeah, they were hardcore people, and even like looking at different stuff. And I'm just saying Indians. Realistically, I mean, it's almost impossible to. I mean, you would have to identify specific groups Native all over the place.
I think we're supposed to say Native Americans.
Native Americans, yeah. Native Americans apply Americans, everywhere, black guy. But I mean, the everyone I like. I've talked to Blackfoot. I've talked to Navajo, and I say, you know, do you prefer?
I thought Blackfoot was an individual for a second there.
I talked to Blackfoot Jones.
Yo, this Jadakiss. I was just talking to my homie Blackfoot.
No, Blackfoot Indians, Navajo Indians. When I've talked to, I am part Blackfoot. But when I say, you know, should I call you Native American? And they just say, you should call me Navajo because I'm Navajo.
You are. So it's like, you do have black feet.
So why I do
you,
have black
how feet. You have white feet? You probably have white bottoms though, huh?
Don't talk about my bottom.
or both black, of them.
I'm Blackfoot too. I'm Blackfoot Indian.
So to say, I mean, to me, even to say Native American doesn't sound any better than Indian, because we're still homogenizing a ton of unique individual cultures by trying to act like they were. I mean, it's the
yeah,
same.
But they were native to America. They That's were. What I mean.
The whole reason of the Indian thing, I think, is because when Columbus landed here, he thought he landed in India. So he referred to them as Indians because he saw dark-skinned people.
Yeah.
So it's entirely inaccurate to refer to them as Indians. I don't even think it's about like you know, being PC or like offending anyone, because there's probably no Indians left to offend, to be honest, or Native Americans.
Yeah.
Right? How do you think you're going to India and end up in the Caribbean?
Once again, with my like, he might have had my problem. Like, he can't get the 7-Eleven.
Well, then who gave him the ships? Like,
Christopher Brent is a relative.
Christopher Columbus.
Yeah.
Like, Brent's he's talking to the king and queen. He's like, yeah, I got him to get some ships. We're gonna get to India. It's to like, India. Oh, you know where you're going, right? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Over that way.
Sure.
I don't know. Well,
just
I guess
get in the boats, head over in that way.
Because you probably have like a second mate that you the boss doesn't really know how to do it at all.
Yeah, and the Vikings had no form of navigation hardly, and they were able to navigate, you know, through storms in their little canoes.
They had a sun crystal and a
but I mean, like,
floating compass.
Yeah,
sundial.
Yeah, I just think Columbus was inept.
Yeah,
he should have gotten fired.
He was lucky. He shouldn't have had a. Well, I guess it was kind of good because we used to get the day off. Now the kids don't get the day off. So.
No.
Why, after the Viking story, did they get rid of Columbus Day?
Most people don't. Columbus Day is still Columbus Day, but it's not celebrated like it was.
It's not a national holiday.
Yeah.
He had a good run, though.
They shouldn't even say that he discovered America, because, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, well, so, it's all
bad. So anyways, well, so all that, they got there. We talked about Indians, and like, we weren't as mean as we thought, probably. I thought maybe we were over here just massacring people, but there was only 50 to 100 of them at first. Yeah. It was more about the whole reason they even stayed, they landed.
Well, if you think about who left, the people who were scared of the other people joining.
Yeah, they weren't like a warring tribe.
Yeah, they were just parents that were concerned about their kids.
They were Puritans, if anything. Yeah, they were like Puritans. Uptight, you know, super heavy religious people that left.
So then, if they're religious, they're not going to kill people.
That's not true at all. Religion has killed more people than any
religious
ever.
People never kill anyone.
No, if they're religious, they're not going to kill anybody. They turn the other cheek.
But so they got there and had no idea what they were doing agriculturally. They were not survivalists, apparently.
Why would they leave somewhere where they had food and not know how to grow food?
It must be really bad.
Go across an ocean planning
to land in November. You don't plan to land in November. You plan to land in like
spring.
April.
Yeah, when you're going to be able to plant
like,
food.
No, let's land when we can't plant anything, and then we'll all starve.
And we're
going to
stay in the huts.
Yeah, so they showed up.
So they were as dumb as Christopher Columbus.
Yeah.
The reason they stayed is because there was an abandoned village. They happened to land where there was an abandoned village, and so they like took that over. And the reason it was abandoned
always
is
because
2 years prior, the entire tribe had died out of smallpox.
Right.
Wow.
Always a good sign.
And I assume because there was just no way of dealing with it, and like no one was going to, like all those villages and everything from everyone dying, it was so massive that it was just like decaying bodies and corpses and skulls, like,
wow.
You know, the entire population of those, you know, villages were just full of dead bodies. Like, you'd have to just drag that stuff out of the
hut. So then you choose to move into the place with dead bodies everywhere.
Right. Yeah. That part was not in Charlie Brown.
No. They would live partially on the Mayflower, and they starved through the winter, and so they lost half of whoever landed, whatever that number may be. I think 100 landed, 50 died over the winter, because having a 25 people left the next round. I don't think that would be sustainable.
Man.
But so 50 people are left, and then comes Squanto, right? So the next round, they ran into Squanto, who was another English-speaking Native American that rolled up. I think, right. Brad, did you want to tell your story of Squanto? You don't have to. You're talking about it earlier before we talked. So Squanto was kidnapped as a child, like years before, because we said 150 years people had been coming over. Yeah, they came and kidnapped
him. Yeah, he was taken when he was 14 years old.
Yeah, they took him back to England. And then he learned English, and they tried to sell him into slavery to the Spanish. But a friar, for whatever reason, had like befriended him and saved him at the last minute.
Yeah.
And somehow awarded him his freedom, a lot like the Vikings thing. So that guy got away. So and he got back to America. I read
they trained him as a guide. Like that's what the purpose of the slavery thing was they were going to take him, train him, you know, English and everything, teach him English, you know, show him some stuff, and then so that he could be used as a guide to go back.
Right.
So
they took him as a kid. Like,
well, they took him when he was 14.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
This tree's a lot bigger than I remember. Like, like he's going to remember.
Well, that was in 1500, and then in 1621 or whatever is when he found the.
Whoa. He's 120 years old.
Dave's like, dude, no, Matt.
Squanto was a vampire.
Yeah.
Most people didn't know that.
Most people didn't know Squanto was a vampire. That's how he knew how to do all the farming and stuff. Because he used to be a farmer, and then now he's...
I think it's sad because it seems like the Native Americans were such nice people. Like, we had already showed up and devastated their population with disease. You would think they would see us and go like, stay back, white people. Right. Like, don't touch them.
Squanto was a Christian, so he had adapted...
By that time, but we just kidnapped him and tried to sell him to the Spanish as a slave. Yeah. You know what I mean? So one, like, friar saved him, but he still had enough faith in humanity and white people that he comes back and helps them.
Maybe like, especially, he liked all people.
Well, think about the first Indian they ran into. He was like, welcome, Englishman. I'd be like, get back on your boat, homie.
Yeah,
like,
because we're gonna kill you.
Yeah, like,
do you guys know the Vikings?
You got dirt. You get germs on you. Yeah, like, so Squanto.
Maybe they didn't know that they were getting the disease from the people, though. Like,
they have to put A and B together.
Well, they don't have to.
I don't know.
They could be stupid too.
No.
Well, they're all dead now.
They knew how to put a fish under a corn plant.
There wasn't very much like disease theory at the time.
Or, yeah, they didn't have knowledge of
germs or anything.
Because they weren't throwing poop in the street. So Squanto teaches them agriculture. He shows them how to plant corn, how he can fertilize it, because they lived in like a sandy, like non-farming environment. Like it wasn't good for agriculture because they lived near the coast. Yeah. So I guess the soil wasn't made for it.
When he met up with them, though, he stayed with them until he died.
Yeah, I think
so.
But it was only a few years later, though.
He probably felt at home with them. But people died when they were like people died when they were like 21.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, I guess they gave him smallpox after they transferred it through the turkey.
But yeah, he taught them, and that's the only reason. We probably owe it to disease. Well, disease for sure, because they would have just kicked our butt and shot us with arrows. But secondly, like, that colony would have never made it had he not showed them how to farm He also established like a fur trade with some locals and stuff. So we didn't even catch the furs. We just bought the furs and resold them and exported them back to England.
Right.
So we sucked. Like, we had no skills.
The whole Thanksgiving thing is so strange because it's like everybody's taught that like the first landing of, you know, people in America is what we're celebrating with Thanksgiving. And it's really, it has nothing. There were already much larger colonies all over the coast. I don't know why we like focus on this particular one. And then it's not even like, oh, well, we have Thanksgiving every year in this colony. They just kind of did it because it was the first year they had crops.
It was a European harvest celebration. So what it was, they were starving and dying. Squanto taught them how to plant, and their very first harvest, when it finally happened, it was like a feast.
But I read that the Indians have Thanksgiving multiple times a year, like for different things.
And different religious groups do as well. I read a lot of the Puritans would have a Thanksgiving of fasting and prayer, you know, and give thanks for what they had for the year. And that often happened in November, but there wasn't like a formal,
I think they do that as in observance of the slaughter.
Yeah.
Like that's why that happens. It's like,
what I'm saying is the whole thing is strange because there wasn't a continuous Thanksgiving. It's not like the reason we still celebrate it from Plymouth is because they did it every year, so it caught on. They didn't. They did it. Well,
I've got the reasons. I think we have to take a break.
We got to take a break. We're talking about Thanksgiving. Just different historical facts that you may not have heard, or maybe you know more than us.
We're trying to ruin it for you. So we'll be back with more.
Yeah, we'll be back with more of the Sofa King podcast. Stay tuned for more things, information of sorts.
Stuff.
Bye.
Gotta get the last one.
Robot Yogurt drive-thru is located at 3650 Gosford Road, the northwest corner of the Hagen Shopping Center. Robot Yogurt serves up frozen yogurt treats with a simple menu that changes daily. Fresh fruit toppings and vegan options are available. Open noon to 8 p.m. daily. More info at robotyogurt.com. Norris Barbershop, Oildale's full-service barbershop, family-oriented, specializing in men and boys haircuts. Hours are Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., located at 316 Norris Road, 393-5601.
Brian Smog and Automotive, old-style automotive repair shop specializing in smog check and repair. Brian Smog and Automotive offers general automotive repair, timing belt replacements, general maintenance and service, as well as electrical diagnostic and related repairs, to give customers peace of mind to drive in a fast-paced world. They are located at 615 East 21st Street. The number is 321-0505.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
All right, welcome back to Story Time with Brent here on the Sofa King podcast.
Wow.
We are doing Thanksgiving. It is Thanksgiving today. So if you didn't talk to your family or see your family,
good for you.
Or, yeah, and if you don't like your family, then be thankful that you're not with them right now. Yes.
Yeah.
And don't confuse this story time with like kids story time, because this is definitely not for children.
This is smallpox and
murder
and slavery of children.
So we've been talking about the early colonial days in the previous segment, and we kind of came up to the first, like what they went through, how they got here, how the Native Americans already were, the fact that we celebrate Thanksgiving as if the people at Plymouth were the first ones here. That's kind of the myth that's always propagated, that people kind of, you know, teach, is that the first people to come to America were on the Mayflower in Plymouth, but there are already well-established colonies. Yeah. People had already been here for a very long time. But then, so getting to the first actual Thanksgiving,
right,
I know it involved crazy people shooting guns.
Yeah, so they had some serious hardships.
Which now we reserve for Black Friday.
Right.
We used to do it. Yes. We used to do it a day earlier.
They, you know, they finally have some food is the big thing, you know, and they're really excited about it. So I guess traditionally in Europe,
and this
they
is
had
a year later.
A year later, yeah.
They landed in November, but this is the of next
1620,
November.
Yeah. This is 1620.
People are dying on boats. Yeah. They're cold. They get there. They show up to a village with dead bodies in it, inhabit the structures. An Indian finally shows up and saves them and teaches them how to plant crops. So by the time the crops have come around, they're going to have their first harvest celebration, because it's already a European tradition to do so at harvest, and has been for, you know, centuries through Vikings and whatnot. But it will morph into what we call Thanksgiving. So they're so excited that they're shooting their muskets off in the air, which I always thought was weird. Like, that seems like, well, Dave had pointed out, it takes, you know, minutes to load a musket. Right. So you'd have to be really excited to make it there. Like, I'm going to do this, you know?
And secondly, they're jerking off the stick for 4 minutes trying to shoot their weapons.
Right. And you have
a finite resource. You have finite resources. So, you know, gunpowder is probably pretty important. And if you're going to go through all the trouble, you better hope it results in a dead turkey.
Yeah.
So when you
were
shoot guns
and turkeys over there, though, it's November, it's cold.
They got wild turkeys, apparently.
Yeah, but they only come out certain times a year too, though.
Yeah, from all the historical stuff that I looked at, turkeys weren't anywhere on the menu. Nor
I heard wild turkey mashed, though.
Mashed no,
well, probably wild fowl would be bird, which could be any sort.
Yeah,
of
everything
bird
said probably wild fowl, but they didn't specifically say turkey. But then turkey, they said venison definitely, eel definitely, lobster definitely.
I'm sure that it came from some super farming thing, because we were able to produce turkeys
and
so fast.
I'm guessing corn, because corn was
corn.
He showed them how to grow.
Absolutely.
And that grows now. So
yeah.
Did they boil corn back then, or is it just like, did
probably
they eat corn in the
cooked
cob?
Cooked it over
they
fire. Yeah? Like you barbecue corn. Yeah.
That would make pop. Oh, I think I read something about them eating popcorn too.
Man, I wonder. I never thought about that. If you, so because normally if you cook corn on the barbecue, you soak it in water, you know, for a while to get it moist,
right?
So that you cook it on the, and it doesn't burn, you know, everything
while it's still in the husk.
Yeah, in the husk. I wonder if you put it in ocean water, if it would get that salt. Oh, make I'm the sure salty. Like,
I'm sure it would.
Huh. Try next time you go beach camping.
I know the Mayans had popcorn, so if the Mayans had popcorn, they probably did.
Yeah, well, it makes sense because it would accidentally happen where you're trying to cook your corn, you walk away, you're checking out your tree hut, doing some minor repairs, and all of a sudden, pop, 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 pop in the background. And you're like, what is going on?
Right.
Left that one burned too long.
Well, I mean, as soon as you had the, as soon as the corn dries and you apply dry heat to it, it'll explode.
I wonder how much that was a part of people's diet back in the day, because it would, once you've popped it too, it probably would sustain for a long time. It would be really stale popcorn as far as our standards are considered, you know?
Yeah, but it wouldn't hurt them if
it would stay.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, they start shooting off guns and 90 Indians show up on horseback trying to figure out what the neighbors are doing, throwing a party. Like, you know, guns are firing in the air and, you know.
You damn kids.
Yeah, and they had to be like, whoa, hey, we're just celebrating. Yeah,
but so there's Indians that close where you can hear a gunshot for a year and they didn't know they were there.
Well, I think they knew they were there. They were just tolerating them. They didn't think
they were getting all whooped up and firing guns. Like,
you know your neighbors are there, but as soon as they got the stereo blasting at midnight, you're knocking on the door. So they ran over to see what's going on.
No, I fire gunshots.
Right.
I mean, that's what you do, right?
So, so there's conflicting stories. Some of the stories I came across said that the Indians shared in the celebration, which I would have to think that if some dudes showed up all mad on horseback with arrows and you knew that they could, you know, you're outnumbered by more than double. There was 90 of them and 50 of the pilgrims. You're probably going to try to make peace and be like, hey, here, don't kill me. We're just celebrating. Eat we had a food. Successful harvest. Yeah, have some of this food. Just take a seat and calm down. And so I feel like they probably shared it out of fear and like making peace, not as like, hey, invite the neighbors over in celebration. So, some of it said that the Indians actually contributed and they're like, oh, they're having a party. This is their thing. They're our new neighbors. And they went and like took some of their venison to them, like four deer or something. They have like some specific numbers. They even have the adult four women that still existed and had survived.
They were 13 now.
They have their names. They were 13?
Or, probably.
Oh, that's Brad stats.
And I have to say, man, we on this show, we spend a lot of time, you know, researching conspiracies and looking at corporations and doing a whole lot of research. And you can pick the most wackadoo conspiracy with a bunch of weirdos spouting completely different facts. And it's still easier to get to the truth of the matter than it is to do historical research on freaking Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like reputable sources just completely contradict each other. Like, I'm just like, I mean, we're putting this together based on the research we've been doing, but it's like a lot of the stuff that I'm saying was already contradicted by some other historian from what I'm saying. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, yeah, there's like every history book in the United States should be a scholarly, trustable thing, and they're all not right.
And I was just on the Smithsonian site, and it's different from, like, it says different facts from everything
History.com
else you've read.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the websites themselves, you're just going to run into this crazy difference.
I watched a History Channel documentary on one, and then you watch a bunch of like independent YouTube videos of people that have made like these 15-minute The Truth About Thanksgiving things.
Right.
And they all cite their sources and things like the Smithsonian. Exactly.
And they're all kind of in the same wheelhouse, but the numbers are all wrong. Everything's like, so if we're butchering the history as you know it, feel free to come and chime in on Facebook and let us know.
And give us a source, because I mean, I had actually cited some of my sources this time, so I have some of that stuff to try to back it up. But it's super conflicting everywhere you look.
Right.
So, so that happened in like November 4th or something. So Thanksgiving.
And supposedly it went 3 days. It was a 3-day festival.
Yeah, 3-day festival. And they didn't really refer to it as Thanksgiving, I don't think. It was just a harvest festival.
Right.
So then years later, I think, like that kind of stayed a tradition, but what I read was George Washington was the first person to like really declare in 1777.
I think all the guys in the Mayflower were gay. They all left behind their daughters and stuff. Like everybody like left behind the women. Like,
well, like left them back in England.
It wasn't about lipstick and curling iron, man. This is a tough trip. Well, I don't know what their plan was.
I mean,
they're going to find some Indian ladies when they got some strange.
The same thing happens right now when person will migrate to another country just to get work. You often leave your family back home, make money, send the money back home.
Plus, the people on the boat are going to die. You're not trying to bring your kids along.
50% of women died and 36% of men.
Yeah, I guess even more than just making money. The fact of the matter is, honey, most of us aren't going to live through the first year. So you stay here. We'll send for you.
Yeah, if it works out. That makes sense. Yeah.
So they weren't gay. Anyway,
but
keep going.
The thing that blows my mind is that the time frame here. I mean,
jumped 150 years or something.
Like in my mind, based on the way I was raised and educated, this all happens in roughly the same kind of time span. But the Plymouth Colony is 1621, and then George Washington is 150 years later.
Right.
Like, that's a crazy stretch of time that I think we... in our minds condensed to all being like, oh, they landed here, then there was George Washington, then it's like, no, they were here for a long time.
Well, and that's what makes me think, like, through the whole thing, like, it wasn't all like, hey, come and join our party, we're having fun. Like, I think they were more like scared.
Have a piece of eel and some corn, man. Chill out.
Like,
I think it was like, please don't hurt us.
So George Washington declared a national celebration to commemorate the defeat of the British at Saratoga, which I'm not a history buff. I don't know the, you know, what's going on with that. But that was the first time it was really mentioned as like Thanksgiving, I guess, and like nationally recognized, but not... in no way committed to or declared a national holiday.
No. It was just celebrated in all 13 colonies.
And it was on December 17th. So still not in the right time frame. So what actually happened was someone named Sarah Josepha Hale?
Yes.
Sarah, yeah. Was the first female magazine editor and author of Mary Had a Little Lamb. So she, what was the year on that, Dave?
1827.
Yeah. She thought that it would be a good idea to... like unify the people because of the Civil War and what was going on. She thought she could make that use Thanksgiving as a shared holiday to try to bring people together and give thanks. Right. So she started writing letters to governors and even the president, and President Lincoln got that letter from her and he was moved and thought it was such a good idea.
But I kind of think she was I want to pause for a second to say, I kind of think she was a crazy person.
Maybe
because she spent 30 years lobbying to get Thanksgiving to be a national thing. She wrote recipes for pumpkin pie, mashed potatoes. She was like sending recipes to senators, like
I didn't know,
like writing letters. Like she was like this hardcore Thanksgiving advocate for 30 years.
There was no Netflix and cheeseburgers. Yeah. What are you gonna do? Sitting there staring at a tree in a rocking chair.
Gotta make a life somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll make a slightly better pumpkin pie and send it to the president.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing that she even got to be a magazine editor. She was probably, you know, pumpkin pie recipe. She was the first Reader's Digest. She was, you know, making a magazine content, you know, and utilizing that.
Yeah.
So, but President Lincoln got the letter. And I guess like 3 days later, what was it? After receiving the letter on October 3rd in 1863, President Lincoln issued a proclamation declaring the last Thursday of November to be Thanksgiving Day. So the last day of November, which I would like to bring up the Berenstain Bear thing, because I think I have solved where that confusion comes from, because that is one of the alternate universe weird change in time things where people are confused and think that Thanksgiving used to be on the third Thursday and not the fourth Thursday. But what has actually happened here is the whole Mandela effect confusion is Thanksgiving is set as a day. First of all, it's set as the last Thursday at that point in time.
It's not a date.
Yes,
it's not a day. Like December 25th is Christmas.
Regardless of what day of the week.
There's like this weird cycle. It's super confusing. Like I got on the internet and looked at the Thanksgiving year cycle.
It can cycle an entire week.
Yeah, well, leap years come into play.
Yeah.
All this weird stuff happens. The chart online doesn't have 1985, which I thought was funny because that's the whole Back to the Future timeline. it's missing. Thanksgiving is missing on the internet chart of Thanksgiving that I found. Wow. It's like that's the main one too. And it's missing from that. But 1984 is listed twice. But it cycles through this weird leap year thing. So at any given time, it could be, way early in the month. It could be way late in the month. And the other problem that happens is every 5 or 6 years, there's 5 Thursdays in the month.
Yeah.
So if...
So it could be the fourth one.
Yeah. So it was the last Thursday is what he set. So it might be really far from it. But the crazier thing is not until like the Great Depression in 1941 did Congress actually declare Thanksgiving a national holiday. So from 1621, you were worried about timelines, to 1777, it made it all the way till 1941 before it actually was even declared a holiday. Before that, it was just tradition that people would do. And
is it really a holiday that one little colony like created food and made a feast? Like that there were other colonies that were going to make it. There were other colonies that did make it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
that all hit. And that's what's so weird about it. I don't know why.
It's the Christopher Columbus thing. Like, why did Christopher Columbus get to be the one that discovered America and be in the history books? Right. Because he didn't discover America.
It's just what made it through time.
Yeah, it's just war what and stuck, what's left. Guess,
yeah. Yeah. Well, that's so crazy.
So because of the time frame of it being in November and around December, you know, as we started to become more industrialized and like the whole consumerism thing started to happen, Macy's got the idea to have the parade in 1924.
Right.
So they started the Macy's Day Parade, which is like genius, and they led the parade to, and it ended at the Macy's store.
Right.
So
yeah, everybody just walks into the store to go see Santa because he goes there.
And in an attempt to stimulate the economy, I think it was Roosevelt, right? Is that 1941?
Yeah.
Yeah, Roosevelt decided to change the national holiday from the last Thursday of November to officially the fourth Thursday of November, and they wrote it into law that it's not going to be the last because that could waver every 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
It would be the fifth in an attempt to extend the shopping season so that there would be more time to buy more stuff so that it would try to stimulate the economy. Yeah. They changed it to the fourth. So that'll cause even more weirdness. It did change, and people would celebrate it on the last anyway because they'd been doing it for hundreds of years without there being an official day.
People were celebrating it different weeks.
So it's super confusing. It was the last Thursday, then it was the fourth Thursday, and even in that, the date changes regardless because it's on a day and not a date.
Right.
So it's super confusing. So if you're used to doing it on, you start to do it on the fourth, and you thought it was always the last, but they changed it to the fourth. This year, there's five Thursdays, and you're like, wait a minute, didn't we just have it? So that you would think the fifth Thursday is the fourth Thursday. Day and that you had celebrated on the third Thursday on accident, right?
I'm confused. Yeah, now. Yeah.
Well, that's why. Obviously, that's the confusion, right? Because it's confusing as heck. That's why it's confusing.
Well, and the other thing, we talked about women dying on the Mayflower. I'm reading something here that actually no women died on the Mayflower. Only one boy.
Oh wow.
There's another source
on the trip over.
Yeah, on the trip over. Yeah, they died afterwards. I'm sure.
Right.
Because of the harsh winter, but. But as far as on the Mayflower, so when they landed, the women actually stayed on the Mayflower while the men went and explored. Who knows for how long or whatever, but it says that they actually lived on the Mayflower for a significant amount of time.
For the most of the winter, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, I think we don't really know what happened. I think this whole thing's made up.
Yeah.
So the other thing that happened was football on Thanksgiving. Like, where did that come from?
Well, I don't care about
that's
football.
Huge, that's a huge thing.
That's a marketing thing.
It is huge. It was specifically because the Detroit Lions got the idea to have a holiday football game because they had poor attendance at the time. And
they still do.
Yeah. And so in order to increase attendance for that one thing, the whole football thing started. And then everybody just jumped on the bandwagon.
Well, because they also knew, a lot of people took the day off.
Like, everybody's home.
So we have ticket sales went up in Detroit, etc. Everybody went to the game. Yep. So it was just a big, because I mean, it's not like it was on television in 1920.
Yep.
It was just, we're selling seats at the stadium. So, hey, what's a day everybody gets off? Thanksgiving. So let's make sure we play a game on that day, you know. I think that's the thing. And then it's still
all marketing.
If on Thanksgiving, if I like take my dogs for a walk, it doesn't matter what time of day or night. If I walk by the park by my house, there are like four football games going on.
Yeah.
Like football.
It's weird. Yeah. How indirectly.
It's because it's football season too, though. Like football's going.
It is.
It's getting to be close to the Super Bowl, you know, like, or you know what I mean? It's a month away or whatever. So people are into football. Like you go on Facebook and people are just talking about football.
Right.
Like constantly.
I have to block people.
Women, men. Yeah. I have people
like down for down. Like, oh, like I can't even name a team right now. Jets, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh God, I have to have every down popping up on my phone.
Yeah. I mean, no, and it is, that's what it is. And
I
don't follow football. I don't like football. I'll watch the Super Bowl because it's kind of like a time where people get together.
Everyone at the house is watching it that day.
Yeah, and I mean, it could be a good game, you know, or whatever, but I'm not into football, and I'm having a son, and he's probably going to want to play football just because I hate it so much.
Fine.
I'd rather have him be homosexual, pretty much. That's where I'm at with that one.
More scary Brad statements. I think that it's crazy how indirectly like the economy can get stimulated by something like deciding to have a football game and everyone getting so excited about football, like the sales of plastic cups and plates. Like I'm sure that like 3M and DuPont, like all these places get stimulated from that. Fritos is probably some outrageous. I'm super curious to look that up and see like how many bags of
Tostitos
chips
they sell.
Like Frito-Lay probably has to ramp up production months prior to just the one day of the Super Bowl.
Right.
For chips and dip.
Or for Thanksgiving.
And grocery stores. Yeah, and just Thanksgiving. But the football aspect of it, which I just, I've never got, it's, I don't know, it's not me. But yeah, just potato chip sales could probably like cure diabetes or something if all the money that was spent on Fritos.
We talked about this before. The money that goes to certain things, I mean, could certainly solve world problems, but we don't. We just don't focus on that.
No.
You know why? Because you can't dip diabetes in Tostitos cheese dip, man.
But diabetes people dip Fritos into cheese with sugar on them.
And it's called diabetes.
Diabetes people. That's a whole separate type of person.
I think it is. I think diabetes is different than diabetes.
It just means you're over 70. If you're over 70, you that's
diabetes.
How it's
I got diabetes.
Diabetes.
I was like,
eat it too much.
Everybody calls Alzheimer's old-timers, which is very appropriate, though.
Yeah, they do.
Like old-timers disease. That's because people say frustrated. And
they
we're
say frustrated.
Frustrated and all kinds of...
I have two that I say intentionally, and it drives people crazy, which is why I keep doing it. I say...
He said it this morning.
Yeah. I say library a lot.
Oh, library is awesome.
I've heard people do that.
Because it drives people crazy. Yeah, the even library. To my classes, I'll say, okay, so we're all going to head over to the library, and they all just kind of pause.
Yeah. I thought you taught this thing. You taught this language.
Yeah, we go to the library.
One of my secretaries used to call dandruff.
It is.
She's just enunciating R-U-T-H. Different.
Yeah, no, like she thought it was spelled.
Oh, with a T-H.
Oh, rough.
Dandruff.
Oh, I R-U-T-H. That didn't come through the headphones, yeah.
Dandruff.
Ooh,
that's weird. My stepdad, when I was little, used to say filthy. That is filthy. Look filthy? At that thing. It's filthy. Let's clean this up.
That's a list.
T-H. No, that he didn't have
that was it. That was just
he just
filthy
said filthy. Filthy.
Yeah. Filthy Thanksgiving.
And what he used to call the refrigerator the ice box. That might just be like a
yeah, that's thing. Old school.
Yeah, and the ice box. That's
cool, because it used to be ice boxes. Right. They would put ice
in
it
and keep stuff cold. You put a cube of ice. And,
yeah. But yeah, it was a thing that he did. One time, I guess, my mom and dad were in like a, I don't know, a restaurant or a bar where a band was playing, and he wanted to order something, and he was talking to the waitress really loud, and right when the band stopped, he came out with the one thing he was going to say completely wrong, and he said, can I get the Quenchy Lorraine? And it was Quiche Lorraine.
Quenchy Lorraine.
And he asked for the Quenchy. Well, if you don't know what it's called, how are you ordering that? That's a weird thing to order.
We were in Vegas driving by, and Sherry's like, oh, look, it's the Tortilla Factory.
No way.
Oh, yeah, for real. We still laugh about it to this day. I'm like, man.
I think Quenchy Lorraine is a porn star.
But it was like my mom said she was so embarrassed. Like the music stopped and he yelled, Quenchy Lorraine.
We got to take another break. This is Sofa King Podcast. We're talking Thanksgiving. We'll be back after this.
Sandrini's Italian and Basque Restaurant, located at 1918 I Street, offers a diverse selection of Italian and Basque delicacies, beer and whiskeys from around the world, and live music every weekend. For more information about concerts and events, you can follow Sandrini's at facebook.com/Sandrini's Bar or call them at 661-322-8900.
Bonnie's Best Cafe. Freshly made sandwiches, salads, soups, and desserts featuring homestyle casserole dinners to go. Bonnie's Best Cafe has two locations to serve you. 1900 21st Street, open Monday through Friday 9 to 5 for sandwiches and until 6 p.m. for casseroles. 1002 19th Street is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Phone number is 661-323-7224. And the website is bonniesbestcafe.com for their current menus.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
Welcome back to the Sofa King Podcast. I was expecting somebody else to come in.
I don't know why. You always talk with him.
I am the official comer back inner.
It was a nice little dance you did, kind of a jazz hand.
Yeah, I did the jazz hands like, who's coming in?
And you're like, wait, it's me. I always come back.
I'm coming in hot.
That was nice.
So we're talking about Thanksgiving.
We've been talking about Thanksgiving, and we right before the break, we were talking about sort of the consumer side of it, and we started talking about food and how much food sales. And then as I started looking, I wanted to start looking at how corporations get involved and profit from it. But as soon as I started looking at corporation involvement, it ended up landing me at the nasty bloody fur feathered doorstep of factory farm turkeys.
Of course it did.
I don't think you just landed there, vegan.
Yeah. I'm just gonna say that.
I had a whole list of stuff I could look at and just
ruin Thanksgiving for everybody.
Here we go. Ruin everything for everybody, yep. Not just Thanksgiving.
Turkeys are made out of chicken nuggets.
So when I started looking into it, the turkey situation, the first thing is the abnormal growth of the turkeys through genetic modification. Mm-hmm. In 1970, the average turkey weighed 17 pounds, and today the average turkey weighs 28 pounds.
Yeah.
We're all getting fatter, even
what
the turkeys.
What this said was, according to an industry publication about turkeys, modern-day turkeys grow so quickly that if a 7-pound baby grew at the same rate that turkeys grow, the infant would weigh 1,500 pounds at 18 weeks of age.
To scale?
I've seen that kid at Walmart. I call him the, look at the turkey kid. Mom, so, take away the bag of chips now, please.
So we have this abnormal turkey growth, and then the male turkeys grow so large because they're genetically designed to grow larger breasts because that's what everybody wants to eat. Mm-hmm. So the male turkeys get breasts that are so large that they can't even mount female turkeys to impregnate them. So every single turkey, to the tune of 300 million a year in the U.S. alone, has been created through artificial insemination where a human impregnates the female turkey.
Wow. A human impregnates them.
Yes. Really? With turkey.
I thought we were going a different way.
They assume the posture. They use a turkey baster to impregnate the turkey, and they assume a position. So
they have a strap-on turkey baster?
So that's a really horrible job, I would imagine, somewhere out there is someone has to do that. So overcrowding at turkey farms make the turkey so hostile that they have to sear off their beaks and toes with hot shears while they're young.
I've heard that.
Of course, they get no anesthetic. Hundreds of thousands die every year in starvation in transport to the slaughterhouse. So not just the killing. Hundreds of thousands die per year.
It's like the turkey Mayflower.
It's a turkey Mayflower. And then the other thing that's interesting is that the humane methods
Die of starvation?
On the way to the slaughterhouse.
How many?
Hundreds of thousands a year.
Do they throw those away?
No, they probably slaughter them.
Yeah, they probably die in there and make sure that they're, as long as
they don't get like turkey rigor mortis away?
I'm sure it's probably as long as they're dead within a certain amount of time. Like if there's a time frame.
And they don't
care
anyway.
They're killing them anyway.
They're going to kill them. Broken leg and no one cares.
They're throwing them into the defeatherer anyway.
Right.
Like they're going to chop their heads, throw them in the defeatherer.
The Humane Methods of Slaughter Act is an act from the USDA that requires that animals that are eaten for food be rendered fully unconscious before they're either shackled or killed. But it doesn't apply to turkeys. For some reason.
Because what are they putting in there? They're going to like chloroform the turkey, and then now we got chloroform.
Well, with
turkey?
Most animals, with a lot of animals, they'll have an electric floor, and then they shock them to render them unconscious.
That doesn't sound any better at all.
But there's no win.
Zap.
But the turkeys, they don't have to do any humane treatment of any of their medical procedures or their death because for some reason they're not covered under the USDA. For some reason, turkeys aren't animals, apparently, according to the USDA. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. And then in 2014, there was a big Butterball investigation that included human abuse of animals and injured live birds thrown into the macerator and ground up for food to feed to the other turkeys while they're still alive.
Just a bit of advice for everybody. Don't search turkey killings because then you get people being beheaded. Who are from Turkey.
That's
yikes.
So that's
that can be confusing. I just like the great Butterball investigation of 2014.
Yeah. Isn't he a fighter? Like, didn't he?
He was actually.
Butterball? Yeah.
So in general,
Butterbean.
So Butterbean. Factory farms in general are horrible and atrocious and do really awful things to animals.
Says the vegan. Anyway,
says
continue.
All facts and statistics about factory farms.
Those are all lies. Look at
that's
history.
That's right. Yeah. They're all lies. But turkey factory farms are the worst of them all because the protections that are afforded to other animals for some reason aren't afforded to turkeys.
That's strange.
It's
that's
rough too. Like, I don't know. Brad's going to say he'd have no problem with it, I'm sure. Maybe I'm a sissy, but I feel like ignorance is bliss, obviously. Like, if we had to raise your own turkey, only to kill it,
you wouldn't. Oh, no, he'd you be would, your buddy.
I wouldn't be able to do
no,
it.
No, I'd be cool with the turkey.
There was actually
I have an easier. I don't like killing animals. Like I have a harder time. Like if you're gonna go out and hunt deer, like killing the deer, like. Yeah, it's fun hunting something, but I would rather kill a stupid person.
I knew literally. You were
gonna
say
no,
that.
I mean that is a, and people think it's a joke or whatever. But I am dead serious. Like I'm not going to go out and kill somebody. Obviously, you know I have a family and a life. But the fact of the matter is, like I would be able to. I the turkey going out and killing the turkey would haunt me more than just going and beating somebody to death.
I don't know if I believe that. It's one thing to say that.
No, I mean, I just know in my brain well, how my brain works. I would think
if that was true, like there's no way you would kill a turkey then.
No, because I have a baby bird fell out. There's these stupid birds that set up in my roof and they crap everywhere all over my driveway, right. Which I'm going to foam them in. So with the expanding foam, so they will be dead soon. But
see, that's a contradictory statement. Like,
well, no, I feel, bad, some no, baby I birds feel bad about it, but they crap all over the place.
So oh, you're going to foam
gotta,
the hole
in. Foam the hole in while they're inside of it so they can't bother me anymore.
You can't rescue them?
I don't know. I can't get up inside of there. If he wants to come over and try and get him, he's welcome to.
Erica Fisher just bought a plane ticket. She bought a plane ticket. She's on her way. That's or fine. She has
if
rallied.
If you can get them out before I foam it, then you're good.
There is a vegan task force on their way to your house.
But one of them fell out of the roof, landed on the driveway. It was the baby bird, you know, still no feathers, no eyes weren't even open. It fell out of the nest, landed on the driveway. It was dying. And I was like, oh, man, like, I got to kill this bird. Like, he's dead. You know what I mean? But he's like trying to breathe, you know,
nah, you can mix Alpo dog food and a dropper. You can save him.
I'm not that
guy. We did it.
So I took a shovel, flathead shovel. And I was like, well, I'm just going to chop its head off, scoop it, throw it in the garbage. Like, because I feel bad for it.
Right.
So I put the shovel on there and I stomp. Right.
Oh,
no.
I'm staring at Dave's face waiting for expressions.
It did not work. Like it was still alive. It wouldn't. And so like it was the worst.
A shovel on a baby bird's head.
It did not work. Like whatever reason, like it did not cut it off and I couldn't get it cut off. And finally I just had to scoop it, throw it up in the air, swing it, baseball bat swing to kill it.
You did not have to do that.
Well, I had to kill it. Like after I've already stomped on it.
Your foot would have been more efficient.
I'm not going to stomp on it with my shoe.
But you make a sport of it in baseball bat with a shovel?
It wasn't a sport. I felt bad. Like
did you
I just
get
needed
it first
to kill it.
Try or did you
no.
miss?
No, I hit it first try.
Strike two.
Home run into the bush. But I got it out. I threw it away. I felt bad. Like I still feel bad about it.
And I thought you couldn't top the 10-year-old chokeout story in the parking lot.
Wait till next week, everybody.
I just think it's funny that Brent keeps looking at me as if I'm going to have like some horrible reaction about this. But
it wasn't
it's
that bad. Yeah.
This is what happens. I see. Every time someone eats a piece of chicken, like that bird's death, what he just explained is no more gruesome to me than every piece of chicken I ever see anyone
when he walks
eat
into
ever.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I feel like you wouldn't be friends with me then, though. Like you'd be looking at me like, "What?
I can't."
Jerk.
Well, I'm
I
telling
can't
you, I
defriend
felt
the world.
I felt bad. Like, well, okay, so what would you do? I know we're running short on time, but what would you do, Dave? As far as like a bird is dying on your driveway, like what would you do with
it? I would
like,
have tried to put it on a warm, like a heating blanket and
lies.
Give it some food.
I know.
And I would have called around and tried to find an animal, a bird rescue that would have taken the bird in.
Let me say,
I feel really bad.
I've been at Dave. I was at Dave's house and witnessed.
I already felt bad.
Baby bird saving. I saw it at your house. They did do it. Yeah. They
I felt bad.
Multiple
See,
birds.
I did
right?
it with a cat. Yes. I did it with a cat. Like, there was like this blind flea infested cat that was like broken. And it was a baby, and the animal shelter wouldn't even take it in.
Right.
So I left it on the doorstep because they have to take them if you leave them there.
They just put it straight to sleep.
I don't know, but it's better than it. I mean, if you would have saw it, like, it's horrible. It was horrible.
How come you couldn't baseball that one?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know. I could have.
It was next level.
Yeah.
Once it has like fur and
it
stuff.
It was still living. I mean, the bird was dying.
You might have been able to save that.
I don't know. I'm not a veterinarian.
No.
So.
You could have shoveled it. I can't do that stuff, man. My buddy told me one time.
I told you, I felt bad about it.
Right,
like,
right.
But I beat up a lot of people, and I don't feel bad about it.
So. If I had to
chop a dude's head off with my shovel, I wouldn't cry.
Yeah, if I could baseball bat somebody with a shovel,
you think you could put your own dog down? Like, as far as, like, shoot it out in the field?
Nah, it's
field?
Hard. Oh, I could if I had to. Like, but that's really rough.
Dude, I took it to the vet, and it was rough.
Yeah, I have two. Because, like, my grandma had a dog, and it was, like, literally seizuring, like all jacked up. And she's like, you got to take him to the vet. And I was like, all right. So I get him the next day. I'm like, I'll take him tomorrow. And the next day, the dog is like the happiest dog in the world.
Oh, God.
Oh,
wagging its tail. Like, it was like, had more energy than it had in like the last 5 years.
It overheard a conversation.
Yeah. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
I'm cool.
Are you kidding me? And I did it with my cat too. My cat.
You took him on the happy day?
Yeah.
I guess it's better to die happy.
Yeah. But I mean, it made me feel horrible. And then my cat too. Something was wrong with him and they couldn't figure it out. And they're like, oh, it's going to be like $1,000 and all this. I'm like, no, I can't. I have a limit on animals, like how much I'll spend. And they're like, they're like, are you sure that you want to put this animal down? And I'm like, oh my God, like really?
do you want to pay for it?
Man, like
they're all, cause it's only $80 to put them down. It's $1,000 to try to save.
I know they're not turkeys, but you know, whatever.
Well, I'm glad that our Thanksgiving conversation ended on such a high note.
Yeah.
I know. How did we get? Well, it started with death and ended with death.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So it
started with people, death ended with.
As you're celebrating death. Thanksgiving, keep in mind that this holiday is brought to you by any number of beings dying horribly.
And I would like to state that there's twice as many plumbing service calls on Friday following Thanksgiving. That's a true fact. I watch videos of plumbers, and we obviously know why. That it might have sucks. To do with the garbage disposal, but I'm thinking it has to do with the toilet.
Well, that'll be it for today. I'd like to thank our non-sponsors. And you can hit us up on SofaKingPodcast.com. And all the interweb Instagram, Sof King Podcast on Instagram, Sof King Podcast on Twitter, and what's your phone number, Dave?
Blank, blank, blank. 555 1212.
So hopefully you'll listen to the next episode. Hopefully you listen to our Black Friday episode and learn some things there. Don't go to Walmart. And don't be a retard. Hot off the griddle. Came to take the cake, whether it's a lot or a little. Kaboom. Doom is nervous.